Making the impossible possible. So today's Bible reading tells the familiar story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Did anyone heard that before? Yeah? And then also walking on water. Hear that one before? How did those things happen? Did they really happen? Was it magical? Sometimes people wonder, what if I don't think they really happened? Am I going to get kicked out of the Jesus Club for not believing the right things? Try not to figure it all out, I hope. I don't think that the point of the Bible stories is you have to get how this happened. I think they're communicating a deeper truth regardless as to how anyone reacts to questions like the ones I just asked. And I think one of the deep truths communicated is this. It's God has ways of making the impossible possible. Nope, no way, that can't be done. But God makes the impossible possible. What I do doesn't make any difference. It's impossible to make an impact. But God can make the impossible possible. Restoring that relationship is not going to happen. It's impossible. But God can make the impossible possible. I can't talk to that person and invite them to church. I'm terrified to do that. And besides, we don't invite people to church. We don't do that. But God can make the impossible possible. There's not enough love in the world for that person. They've been awful to everyone forever. God can make the impossible possible. This storm is too much. It's just too fierce. I can't make it. God can make the impossible possible. Now, figure out a way to make folks agree on things. Impossible. But God can make the impossible possible. Everyone, take out your calendars. You got your calendars with you? No? Take your calendar in your head that you will then transfer to the calendar at your house or on your phone or in your day timer, whatever it is. September 30th, mark that day down. That's the day I'm going to be installed here as pastor at St. Paul's. What's taking so long? Well, let's just say that things work better if we have an installation after the summer is over. You know, it's more pleasant. The weather's probably going to be pretty good. We don't have to worry about a whole bunch of things. The choir's back. We can get all kinds of cool music. Since we're having it in September, I get to invite my favorite preacher to deliver the sermon, my dad. Some of you know my dad, Fred Moore. Raise your hand, Fred Moore. Raise your hand. Don't know who that is. It's my dad. He's going to preach a sermon that actually uses this morning's Bible reading. I don't think that the sermons are going to be alike at all. And I do have an inkling which one of the two stories from today's reading my dad's going to focus on. So I'm going to focus on the other. And you have to come here on September 30th to find out if I was right. 3 o'clock p.m. You have to come to church on, you know, at 9:45 and then come back for the installation. Here's what I'm going to focus on now. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. Jesus went and walked on water, staying dry, while everything around the disciples in the boat was swirling and blowing. Can you think of another Bible event that involved walking and staying dry through what should have been very wet? Anyone? Go ahead, just shout it out. The parting of the Red Sea, right. And what about those swirling waters? Do you know anything about swirling waters from a story in the Old Testament? I'll give you a hint, it's the same story because it comes after. There's an ancient hymn called Horse and Rider He Has Thrown into the Sea. It's one of the oldest written fragments that you'd ever be able to find from the Bible. And the songs always are much older than stuff that is a full narrative. The people that crossed, and actually the Hebrew Bible says they crossed Yam Suf, which means Sea of Reeds, or a marshy lake near the Red Sea, sort of up at the top instead of the big, you know, wide part there. But then when the Old Testament got translated into Greek, they translated Yam Suf instead of Sea of Reeds into the Red Sea. So we get the story of the Red Sea, and the song actually goes on further then to show that there was a wall of water on the right and on the left. But the original part, the oldest part of the song, it said, horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. It's about the swirling of the waters after the people had crossed. They had crossed this little marshy lake that was now dry, and then all of a sudden the waters just welled up. And not just welled up, they gushed up, and the Egyptian soldiers and the chariots were, well, not happy about that, let's just say. I think that the disciples who saw Jesus walking on water, and the people who would hear about it later, and the people who would read about it even later, would think about someone named Moses when they told this story, when they heard this story about Jesus and the water. They think about how Moses led the people on dry land while Pharaoh's army and the horses were swallowed up by the rushing water. And why is that significant? It's because it showed that God was still active with miracles at a time when people didn't think that sort of thing happened anymore. We look at it now and say, that sort of thing doesn't happen anymore. However, back in Jesus' time, people were saying the same thing. They were amazed at the signs Jesus was giving, but people didn't think that signs were all that common, and they looked back into the scriptures, and they said, well, look, God did stuff all the time back then. God was so active. Why isn't God active now? It showed that Jesus was connected to those back in the day times that folks probably thought were gone for good. And I also think that it shows that this time the miracles were from the real, the ultimate, the complete Savior, the chosen one, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that the people were expecting. And maybe, as we listen to it today, it can remind us that God is by no means done being active in the world. Just because we don't see the signs all the time, or just because the waters don't part anymore, it doesn't mean that God is not still active in the world. God is still speaking. You ever heard that phrase? The Still Speaking initiative of the United Church of Christ began way back in 2004, and it reminds us that God isn't done being active in the world. There is yet more light to break forth from God's word. Those are the words that John Robinson gave when the pilgrims were leaving. He was too sick to leave, but he preached a sermon, and that was this poignant moment. There is yet more light to break forth from God's word, saying that God is still active, and you are going to go on and do great things because God is going with you. And then the phrase, never place a period where God has placed a comma. That was part of the Still Speaking initiative, and it's still around. And that one comes from, anyone know where that one comes from? It comes from Gracie Allen. She wrote it to And a letter of encouragement, a love letter of encouragement to George Burns when she was very sick and almost, well, about time to die for her. She wrote those words to say that you're going to go on. Never place a period where God has placed a comma. That's those two poignant phrases are where we get the God is still speaking initiative, saying that God is still active. Now, the UCC likes to launch initiatives. We've had them over the years. The Still Speaking Initiative has lasted since 2004, and it's all over the place. You see commas all over the church. We're the church with the comma. But the UCC also just launched a new community building initiative. It's called the Faith In Project, and there's a comma in between faith and in. I know we're the church of the comma, but this comma actually has a purpose too. Project seeks to invite Christians from across the globe to loudly proclaim their faith in a still speaking God and to live out that faith in neighborhoods through mission and outreach. So now we've launched a St. Paul's Faith In Community. And there's also a Downers Grove Faith In Community. And that comma, well, it works for one half of the faith in. You say, we have faith. We are people of faith. We are expressing our faith in community. But the other part, remove the comma, and it still makes sense. We have faith in our community. We're going out and being people who have faith in the community. We care about our community. I want people to think that we care about our community because we do, but I want it to be evident. What ways? You don't have to answer these, but think about them. What ways would you like to show faith in our community, as in living out faith, being people of faith in our community? And then at the same time, think, what ways can we show faith in our community, in reaching out to our community? They are intertwined. They're woven together, inextricably linked. Faith in. After the service, if you want to, or when you're not on your way home, but when you're back at home or you have a computer somewhere, head to the Faith In link on the church website. There's right on the front page, there's the regular churchy stuff, and then there's a sign, basically. It says Faith In. You click there, and it'll take you to the Faith In Project. If you don't remember that part, faithinproject.org, you can get just a copy of the sermon, and it's listed there. And then join the St. Paul's Faith In Community and the Downers Grove Faith In Community. And I think that when folks think of St. Paul's, they should think, that's the church that is so welcoming to everyone. I want them to say that. I should also say, that's the church that is really making a difference in the community. I want people to say that too. That's the church that lives out its faith in the community. I want people to say that too. That's the church that has faith in the community. I want them to say that. That's the church I want to be a part of. God loves everyone, no matter what, right? All around, everywhere. And there's no changing that. But I want you to know that what we do all around, everywhere, matters. Living out our faith in community matters. Living out our faith in the community matters. Being a people who practice all around, everywhere, love for God and love for everyone matters. And I know it's a tall order, but it is possible. It's necessary. And God, who makes the impossible possible, has faith in us. God has given us all we need to live out that faith. Enough and more. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for caring for us, for giving us all we need and more. Help us to live out your love. Help us to live out our faith here inside these walls. Help us to live out your love. Help us to live out our faith outside of these walls in the community. Help us to live out our faith in this community. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.